Mass. In the liturgy of this feast, there is scarcely any mention made of the heart of flesh assumed by our Savior. When, in the last century, there was question of approving a Mass and office in honor of the Sacred Heart, the Jansenists, who had zealous partisans even in Rome, excited so much opposition that the Apostolic See did not deem it prudent to speak openly, at that early period, on the points which some so angrily disputed. It, however, readily granted, both to Portugal and the Republic of Venice, an office in which the heart of Jesus, victim of love, and pierced with a spear, was offered to the adorations of the faithful. But in the Mass and office which Rome afterwards gave for the general use, she, out of a motive of prudence, kept to the glorification of our Redeemer's love, of which it could not reasonably be denied that his heart of flesh was the true and direct symbol. Thus, the introit, which is taken from Jeremias, extols the infinite mercies of him whose heart has not cast off the children of men. Introit. He will have mercy according to the multitude of his mercies, for he hath not willingly afflicted, nor cast off the children of men. The Lord is good to them that hope in him, to the soul that seeketh him. Alleluia, alleluia. The mercies of the Lord I will sing forever, to generation and generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Church, deeply moved with gratitude for the immense blessings brought to her by the Sacred Heart, prays in her collect that her children may have the grace to appreciate those divine benefits and receive with holy joy the fruits they are intended to produce. Collect. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who glory in the most sacred heart of thy beloved Son, and celebrate the singular benefits of his love towards us, may rejoice both in their accomplishment and in the fruit they produce. Epistle. Lesson from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 12. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, for thou wast angry with me. Thy wrath is turned away, and thou hast comforted me. Behold, God is my Savior. I will deal confidently and will not fear, because the Lord is my strength and my praise, and he is become my salvation. You shall draw waters with joy out of the Savior's fountains, and you shall say in that day, Praise ye the Lord, and call upon his name. Remember that his name is high. Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath done great things. Show this forth in all the earth. Rejoice and praise, O thou habitation of Zion, for great is he that is in the midst of thee, the Holy One of Israel. My people have done two evils, said God, in the ancient covenant. Quote, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have digged to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. End quote. Footnote. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. How wonderful is this complaint! It is made by infinite love, on seeing his proffered benefits refused. And what is still more wonderful, the God thus slighted by his ungrateful children, who pretend to find their happiness in something which is not himself, overlooks the insult, to consult for the remedying of their misery. He is touched at seeing these poor mistaken children trying to get their burning thirst quenched by created things, whereas he alone can quench it. Material goods and outward beauty have misled them and made them slaves to their sensual appetites. Their soul, which was created for infinite good, has thought it might find its rest in those feeble and flittering reflections of the sovereign beauty, reflections and images which were intended to lead them to the divine reality. How lead back to the living fountain the poor creature who has been made a dupe of the mirage of the desert, and is rushing on deeper and deeper into the scorching sands? O Israel, sing praise to thy Lord, and thou, Sion, bless thy God for his infinite mercy towards thee. Water has sprung forth from the rock which thou hast met in the wilderness, where the madness of thy guilty fever kept thee a wanderer. On the very steep which was precipitating thee downwards towards the flesh, thou hast met thy Jesus. He has made himself thy companion on the way of this earth's life. He is God, but he has been made flesh, that so, for thy soul's good, he might draw thee as the prophet foretold, with the cords of Adam. Footnote, Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. That is, by the love and loveliness of that heart of flesh, lead thee to the object which was to satisfy thine own heart, and for which thou wast created. Thus made captive to the infinite by the bands of this love which Jesus showed thee, footnote, Hosea chapter 11, verse 4, thou hast found thyself within reach of the fountain of water, which springeth up into life everlasting. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 14. And thy joy at finding thy Savior's fountains has made thee loathe the muddy water of the broken cisterns of old. Thy thirst keeps on, but the water is ever there for thee to drink in as deeply as thou willest. Thou hast the Sacred Heart, which was opened for thee by the soldier's spear. Thirst and drink, and both forever. The immense love which fills the heart of the man-God and has led him to undergo unparalleled sufferings in order to save us, the meekness and humility of that divine heart, which he himself would have us take as the chief characteristic of his whole life. These are the mysteries proposed by the gradual and Alleluia verse, that we may know them and let them influence our conduct. Gradual. O all ye that pass by the way, attend and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Alleluia, Alleluia. Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 19. At that time, the Jews, because it was the Parasev, that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that was a great Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came, and they broke the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But after they were come to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he that saw it hath given testimony, and his testimony is true. We have already explained this passage of St. John's Gospel, and in doing so we brought it into juxtaposition with certain texts from the first epistle of the same apostle, which throw such light on what the Gospel relates regarding the opening of Jesus' side. Let us imitate our Mother the Church, who hears these mysterious words with such profound attention. This Gospel tells us of the beautiful path by which she first came. She was born from the heart of the man-God. She could not have had any other beginning than this, for she is the work, by excellence, of his love, and it is for this, his bride, that he has accomplished all his other works. Eve was taken from Adam's side in figure of a future mystery. But, for the very reason of its being a type and a prediction, no trace was to be left of the fact itself. But in the mysterious fulfillment of the figure, that is, in Jesus' side being opened that his bride the church might come forth, the trace was to remain forever. As often as she looks at this wound, she is reminded of her glorious origin, and that open side is like a ceaseless reminder that she has but to go to that sacred heart, and there she will find everything she needs for her children. The offertory is taken from Psalm 102, that magnificent hymn of love and gratitude, which extols the numberless favors and infinite mercies of God. Offertory. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget all he hath done for thee, who satisfieth thy desire with good things. Alleluia. Let us, in the secret, unite with the church in imploring of our Lord to enkindle within our souls the flames of his holy love, that thus our hearts may be in unison with that of our great high priest, who offers a sacrifice which is both his own and ours. After the secret follows the preface. It is that of the Holy Cross. Jesus was still attached to the sacred wood when his heart was pierced and opened. The choice of such a preface was an act of reverential love paid by our Holy Mother to the glorious instrument which gave her life by working her redemption. Secret. Defend us, O Lord, who offer to thee thy holocaust, and that our hearts may be more fervently prepared for it, enkindle within them the flames of thy divine charity. Preface. It is truly meet and just, right and available to salvation, that we should always and in all places give thanks to thee, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, Eternal God, who hast appointed that the salvation of mankind should be wrought on the wood of the cross, that from whence death came, thence life might arise, and that he who overcame by the tree might also by the tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, by whom the angels praise thy majesty, the dominations adore it, the powers tremble before it, the heavens and the heavenly virtues, and the blessed seraphim, with common jubilee glorify it, together with whom we beseech thee, that we may be admitted to join our humble voices, saying, Holy, holy, holy. In order to excite in her children the sentiments of reparation to the Sacred Heart, which are so much in the spirit of this feast, the Church, at the moment of communion, reminds them how their Jesus was abandoned when in the midst of the sufferings which he endured out of love for us. Communion. My heart hath expected reproach and misery, and I looked for one that would grieve together with me, but there was none, and for one that would comfort me, and I found none. Alleluia. The Church, who has just been so closely united with her spouse in these sacred mysteries, is able to understand all the more fully the lessons given to her by the Sacred Heart. She prays that her children may increase in true humility, may abhor the pride which is so rife in this fallen world, and prove themselves to be the disciples of him who was meek and humble of heart. Post-communion. Being fed with peaceful delights and life-giving sacraments, we suppliantly beseech thee, O Lord our God, that thou, who art meek and humble of heart, wouldst make us to be clean from the stain of every vice, and more steadfastly to abhor the proud vanities of the world.